Thank you, ladies, not just for the song, but for the truth that comes through it. I don't know if any of you have ever been in Sharon's circumstance where you're about to lose your job and your source of security and all that seems to be before you. I don't know if you've ever been at that place where there's this huge question mark before your life. But if you have, then this morning's message, I believe, is going to be right to your heart and soul from the Word of God. Take your Bibles, if you will, and turn to Matthew's Gospel, chapter 6. Before the summer, we began a series on worship. So is it time for junior church? Okay, kids, time to go to junior church. Those of you who are still here, you can make your way out. Before the summer, we began a series on worship, partly because in a multinational, multi-denominational congregation like ours, there's a lot of confusion over worship and worship style. Every one of us comes from a different background, a different tradition, and we kind of look hoping to have at least a part of that in a church like this, and yet you can appreciate how difficult that would be. So we're looking at what the Scriptures say about worship. And we covered two very important principles in June. We started again last week, and we'll continue this morning. How many of you have ever made a swap? Now, for those of you with English as a second language, you may not be familiar with that term. Swap means to exchange or to trade something. How many of you have ever made a swap? Some of you made a swap this morning when we were confessing our sin to the Lord. You offered up your confession and you received the Lord's forgiveness. That's a swap. That's an exchange. That's a trade. Well, swaps can be very good, or they can also be very bad. Let me say, if I invited you this morning to make a swap with me, and I asked you to give me your vehicle, or your house, or a very treasured possession, in exchange for a piece of paper, would that be a good swap or a bad swap? How many say it would be a bad swap? A good swap? It depends what's on the paper, right? Yeah. Well, if the paper was mere newsprint, it would be a bad swap. But if the paper was a share certificate in a company worth $1 million, it'd be a good swap. So even though what you have to trade is very valuable compared to what you would receive, depends on whether it's a good or a bad swap. Today I want to share with you the ultimate swap. It's an offer from God Himself. It is a great exchange that will provide you and me something more valuable than ever can be calculated. What He asks of us is something that every one of us have. The rich have it, the poor have it. People from every different nationality have it. And you probably have it or some of it with you this morning. Now, we already took the offering, so you don't have to worry about putting it in the offering plate. It is something that God is offering you to give to Him. What I'm speaking about this morning is worry. That's right, worry. How many of you have any worries kind of tucked in your back pocket this morning or in the recesses of your heart? How many of you have worries that are troubling your mind or that are agitating your spirit? Anybody? You don't have to put your hands up. But if you do, how many of you would like to get rid of those worries this morning? Anyone? Syndicated advice giver Ann Landers receives thousands and thousands of letters every month. And she said in analyzing them that the one predominant issue that comes through over and over and over again in most of the questions she receives is the issue of people's fear and worry about life. We worry about anything and everything. Many people have a worry about flying. It's hard if you're an expatriate going from place to place. I read about one lady who took out extra flight insurance just before her last trip. And then the night before traveling, she went for Chinese food with the family. And the message in the fortune cookie said, "A recent investment will pay big dividends." You know, we worry about our appearance, don't we? Could that be the primary reason why elephants live longer than humans? You never see them worrying about their weight. I heard about a guy who went to the barber, and the barber said, "How'd you lose your hair?" And he says, "Worry." He says, "Well, what were you worrying about?" He says, "I was worrying about losing my hair." We're crazy creatures, aren't we? We just worry, worry, worry. We worry about our food, we worry about our clothes, about our education, our work, our future, our finances. We worry about our children, we worry about our parents, we worry about our health. We worry, we worry about everything. The term worry is derived from an old German word, worgen, which means to choke. And the word came to denote mental and emotional strangulation. And it also means the condition of being harassed with anxiety. Now, not only does worry strangle us emotionally and mentally, it also has a profound negative impact on our physical health. Worry affects our circulation, it affects the heart, the glands, the entire nervous system. It helps produce ulcers, insomnia, headaches, phobias, and many other unwelcome guests. Corrie Ten Boom correctly observed, "Worry does not empty tomorrow of its sorrow, it simply empties today of its strength." Dr. Park Tucker, a former chaplain of the federal penitentiary in Atlanta, Georgia, was very depressed one day and worried about life and all the issues that he was facing. One day while walking down the street in Atlanta, this is a number of years ago, but he noticed a sign in the funeral home that said, "Why walk around half dead? We will bury you for $69.50. It kind of struck him funny, and he laughed out loud, and then the rest of the day chuckled over and over again about the sign, and by the end of the day, he noticed he was free from his depression. Dear friends, has worry half killed you? Does worry have you in its grips this morning? Is it sucking the life out of you? Today, I'm not going to offer to bury you for $69.50. But I am going to offer you a free swap that will make you more alive than you've ever dreamed. In Matthew 6, go there with me, verse 31 to 33, we read these powerful, penetrating words. "So do not worry," Jesus said, "saying, 'What shall we eat?' or 'What shall we drink?' or 'What shall we wear?' For the pagans run after these things, and your heavenly Father knows that you need them. But seek first His kingdom and His righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well." Lord Jesus, You spoke these words many years ago. We ask You to speak them afresh by Your Spirit to our hearts, to our minds, to our lives today, in such a way that these words will go into the deepest part of our being and bring forth the life that Your Word was sent to bring. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Today, God is inviting you and me to make the ultimate swap, to give Him our worry and to receive from Him His absolute security and genuine care. Anybody interested? That's an amazing swap, isn't it? A fabulous swap. And how do we make this swap? Well, I believe the swap acrostic reveals the secret of how to do it. Swap, S-W-A-P, stop worrying and praise. Stop worrying. You can't, there, it's just a swoop. Doesn't make any sense. Stop worrying. You try that, you'll end up worrying again. You're worrying about how to try stop worrying. You got to continue on all the way through. Stop worrying and what? Stop worrying and? We're going to see this morning how key that is to completing not just the acrostic, but to completing the experience. To stop worrying and praise. Now, this is not as easy as it sounds. I'm not going to give you a quick fix this morning. This is a process that you and I can learn, however, that will bring us progressive and increasing wholeness. God knew that you and I would struggle with making this swap, even though it sounds good, to make the swap where we give Him our worry and actually place Him as number one in our lives, where He becomes our number one passion, our number one pursuit, our number one drive, our number one priority. That's not as easy as it sounds. And so in order to help us with that, God gives us five reasons leading up to this prescription. reasons that when you and I consider them, you will realize the absolute wisdom of why it's not just good for God, but it's great for us to give up our worry and to start living a life of praise. Look at them with me, if you will. We'll back up to verse 19 in the chapter and start there. Do not store up for yourselves treasures on earth, where moth and rust destroy, and where thieves break in and steal. But store up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where moth and rust do not destroy, and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. The first reason Jesus gives for us to swap, to stop worrying and praise, is that our hearts attach to what we value. Whatever you value in life, your heart attaches to it. Jesus said, where your treasure is, that's where your heart will be also. If your treasure, if the thing that you pursue and value can rust, or rot, or be stolen, or damaged, or hurt, or if the thing that you value can lose its worth, then you will most naturally worry about all that could happen to that treasure. When your treasure is God, however, and your heart is attached to Him, you don't have to worry about Him. You don't have to worry about Him losing His value. You don't have to worry about Him getting hurt. You don't have to worry about Him in any way whatsoever. When our hearts are attached to the One who will never diminish in worth, who will never be damaged or stolen, and who gives us treasures that are equally eternally secure, we have no reason to worry. Nothing can touch your treasure. Nothing. So swap. Stop worrying and praise. Make Christ your treasure. Let your heart be attached to the ultimate source of security. The second reason to stop worrying and praise is that our focus determines our direction. When your child runs into the wall when he's playing, or when somebody bumps into you spilling hot coffee all over you, what's the first thing you say? Why don't you watch where you're... Come on, you said it, don't you? Have you ever said it? Why don't you watch where you're going? That's essentially what Jesus is saying to us here. Watch where you're going, because where you watch, where you look, is where you're going to go. I don't look this way and walk this way. If I do, I'm in trouble. We go where we look. And so Jesus said, be careful where you look. Be careful what your eyes fix on. Because what you fix on is the direction your life is going to take. He said it in different words. This is how He said it. The eye is the lamp of the body. Verse 22. The eye is the lamp of the body. If your eyes are good, your whole body will be full of light. But if your eyes are bad, your whole body will be full of darkness. If then the light within you is darkness, how great is that darkness? Darkness is where accidents take place. Darkness is where people cannot see and therefore trip and stumble and fall. The dark is where we are deceived and damaged and destroyed. And the darkness is the place where we worry. Where we worry about all that can happen to us. But dear friends, the light dispels the darkness. And with it, it dispels all the reasons for worry. It's gone. If you focus on the volatile stock market for your financial security, hey, trust me, you're going to have plenty to worry about. If you focus on the moral climate of the culture for your marital security or for your family stability, you will have lots to worry about. If you focus on the political climate, you'll have ample reason to worry. If you focus on the air quality or the traffic or your aging process, or health worries. All these things will eat you up on the inside. Your worries will simply multiply. But when we change our focus to the Lord, things change. When we focus on and pursue that which is dark, we set ourselves up for a life filled with worry. But when we pursue Christ, the author of light, we enjoy all the benefits of living in the light, and therefore we have no need to worry. Jesus said Himself, I am the light of the world. He who follows me will not walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. So swap. Stop worrying and praise. Fix your eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of your faith. Watch where you're going. The third reason to stop worrying and praise is that our Master demands our loyalty. In verse 24, Jesus said, "No one can serve two masters. Either he will hate the one and love the other, or he will be devoted to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve both God and money." Jesus states pretty clearly here that it is impossible for us to serve two masters. He identifies money, but the principle is true no matter what the other master is. That's because masters, any master and every master, has control and wants to keep control, and it doesn't want to share control with anybody else. Have you ever noticed that what masters you worries you? Think about it. If you were all wrapped up in making money or building a career, the worries that accompany such pursuits will tie you up in knots. If pleasure is your ultimate pursuit, the worries that result from your disintegrating life will shred you. If education is your master, you will never graduate from its constant, worrisome competition. You'll never quite know enough. There will always be somebody who knows more than you. Marriage and family, as good as they are, were never meant to be our God. For the worries associated with relationships can eat you alive. God is the only master we can ever serve without worry. So make the swap. Stop worrying and praise. Determine to let Christ be your master, not just your friend, not just the nice guy who gives you a couple blessings in life. Determine to let Christ be the undisputed master of your life. Pursue Him with a passion. Use your life for His praise. It works. The fourth reason to stop worrying and praise is that our worry is entirely futile and fruitless. Jesus said it this way in verse 25 and 27. "Therefore I tell you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or drink, or about your body, what you will wear. Is not life more important than food, and the body more important than clothes? Who of you by worrying can add a single hour to his life?" The question, dear friends, stands for the answer. Worrying adds nothing positive to life. Instead, it robs us of all that is valuable. The worried cow would have lived till now if she had saved her breath, but she feared her hay wouldn't last all day and she mooed herself to death. Maw, maw, maw. It kind of sounds like some humans, you know. Maw, maw, cry, wail, complain. This problem, that problem. Oh, I'm so worried. On and on. You know, it gets to be almost acceptable. I got more to complain about than you do. Oh, wow, I'm impressed. Moo, moo. What does it accomplish? Sweet, nothing. Nothing. Anybody here say, "Yeah, my worrying really has done a lot of positive benefits in my life"? Anybody? One testimony, please. Didn't think so. So stop worrying and praise. Put your trust in the one who can and does make things happen. Or who can stop them from happening. Who can and does change things. Who can and will bring about His perfect will for your life. Put your trust in Him. Stop worrying and praise. There's one more reason Jesus gives here as to why we should stop worrying and praise, and that is because, and it's really the kind of the culminating argument of this passage, it's because God cares for His own. Look at verse 26 and then 28 to 33. Jesus said, "Look at the birds of the air. They do not sow or reap or store away in barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not much more valuable than they? And why do you worry about clothes? See how the lilies of the field grow? They do not labor or spin. Yet I tell you that not even Solomon in all his splendor was dressed like one of these. If that is how God clothes the grass of the field, which is here today and tomorrow is thrown into the fire, will He not much more clothe you, O you of little faith? So do not worry, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear? How many of you have ever seen a bird with an ulcer? Have you ever seen a field flower begging for more clothes? Or feeling insecure because it wasn't dressed in the right colors? What is it with us humans? Said the robin to the sparrow, I should really like to know why these anxious human beings rush about and worry so. Said the sparrow to the robin, well, I think that it must be that they have no heavenly Father such as cares for you and me. Dear friends, we do have a heavenly Father. And our heavenly Father considers us far more valuable than a sparrow or a field flower. And our heavenly Father is eager to care for us. But it seems that either we do not know that, or we choose not to believe it. Bishop Fulton J. Sheen said, all worry is atheism, because it is a lack of trust in God. Powerful quote. God has gone on record as saying that He would provide for us as His children. Now, either He is lying, or He's telling the truth. If He's lying, then don't just throw this message away. Throw the whole thing away. Forget it. I don't want to serve a God who lies. But if God is telling the truth, if God has promised to look after me, His child, and I refuse to believe that and act on it, I am holding Him in contempt. If He's telling the truth, then you and I, as His children, have an absolute, unshakable source of security. Now, if you do not know God as your Heavenly Father, if you haven't arrived yet to that place in your life where you've given Him your life, discovered His love and salvation for you through Jesus Christ, if you're not there yet, then, dear friends, it's understandable that you will look elsewhere for your security. All of us long for security, and we worry if we don't have it. But listen carefully, dear friends, to Jesus' concluding argument in verse 32. He says here, for the pagans run after all these things, and your heavenly Father knows that you need them. The word pagan here is not some wild, fire-eyed heathen. The term pagan here simply refers to those who do not yet know the true God as their Father. They are the ones who spend their lives chasing for security in every place except where it is found. And because they never find it, they're always worrying. Dear friends, this is not to be the case for God's own children. His plan is so much greater than that for His own. He leads His own children into complete security and freely adds unto them all that they need. That is the promise of God. And so I ask you this morning, is God your Heavenly Father? Is the Almighty, all-sufficient, all-knowing, all-loving, completely sovereign God, your personal loving daddy? If He's not, dear friends, I invite you, don't let a day go by without discovering His love for you in Jesus Christ. Why wait? But if you've made that step, then His invitation to you this morning is swap. Say it again.
Stop worrying and praise.
That's His invitation. You can go on if you want and carry your bag of worry. But this morning He offers an invitation. Look into the eyes and hear the heart of the one true God. And declare the praise of Him who is your security. Now listen again to the five reasons that Jesus gives. It is to our advantage to stop worrying and praise because our hearts attach to what we value, Our focus determines our direction. Our master, whoever or whatever it is, demands our loyalty. Our worry is entirely futile. And our God cares for His own all the time. This morning, Jesus invites you and me to swap, to stop worrying and praise. If this is your desire, then Jesus wraps it all up by saying, seek first. Not second, not when you have time, not just on Friday mornings, not just when you're in trouble, not just when you're burdened, not just when you have an egg. Seek first, first, first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. And all these things, they'll be added to you as well. It's no problem for God. Jesus invites you this morning to swap. Stop worrying and praise. Lord Jesus, thank You for the truth of Your Word, which reaches down deep into where we live and deep into our hearts, and provides us a way out of our pain, a way out of our hassle, a way out of our self-induced agony in this life. Father, we ask that as we attempt to put this into practice, that You will be not just the initiator of this intent, but that You will be the one who comes alongside of us now and makes it work. We're saying to You this morning that we want to make that swap. We want to step out of our worry and into Your praise. And we ask You to help us to do that. Through Jesus' sake, amen. That verse, as you know, was put to music. Beautiful chorus. We're going to sing that together and then hear from Pastor Bill as to how to make some practical steps.